Hallelujah. 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 It's all right to give him praise. It's all right to give him praise. Hallelujah. Come on, can we stand and give him praise? We're not asking you to praise me, but praise God, because he is God. He is God Almighty. He is our soon coming King. He is our friend. He is our Savior. He is our everything, and he's worthy of our praise. Oh, he wants to hear our praise for how he has kept us all this week, how he has made ways out of no ways. Oh, we praise our God. We praise our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, even as we come into your presence right now, we honor you as our Holy Father. There is none like you in all the earth. Oh God, we bow down in your presence and we choose to worship you. Oh God, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for what you're doing even right now. And we thank you for what you are about to do. Now God, these are your people. And I know that you love your people. Oh God, I know that you have a word for your people. I ask that you would send them the fresh bread and the fresh water in the name of Jesus. I, as your servant, humble herself. God, I am weak, but you are strong. Stand in my place, oh God, and to declare a word to your people. Save souls today. Deliver backsliders today. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, heal bodies today. Heal minds today. Heal spirits today. Do the supernatural right in our midst today. We need to hear from you. God, we take authority over every spirit of distraction right now in the name of Jesus. We bind up the hand of the enemy in the name of Jesus, and we release the anointing of the Holy Spirit to do what you've been wanting to do in this house for years. Oh God, have your way in the name of Jesus. Have your way, God, in this assembly. God, in the name of Jesus, we've come to this moment and this time. Oh God, we want to hear from you. We make it all about you. We bring our minds in collectively. And we place our focus on you. Nobody else gets the glory. No flesh will glory in your presence. It's not about us, but it's all about you. So we bow in worship to you. It is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that we say. Somebody say, Jesus. Say it again. Say it like you mean it this time. Amen. Amen. Before you take your seats, would you do me a favor, church folk, saints? Would you do me a favor and find you somebody? Walk across the aisles and touch somebody's hand. And I want you to just grab their hand and look in their faces. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We don't interact enough with each other as church folk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know it may be out the norm for you. I know you may not be feeling like it, but get over it. Come on, come on. It's a new day. Hallelujah. It's not about you. Hallelujah. Touch somebody's hand. I want you to look at them. Touch somebody's hand. Hug somebody. Let the love of God come through you to them. Come on, come on. Show somebody the love of God. Smile at somebody. Can you smile? Can you smile? Would you speak to somebody? Hallelujah. 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 Aren't we the family of God? Hallelujah. We're a family supposed to love on each other. Sometimes you fight, sometimes you get on each other's nerves, but when it is all said and done, we're supposed to love one another. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's act like we're the family of God. Hallelujah. On purpose. You never know what your neighbor is going through. Somebody just needs to feel a human touch. Turn around and look at somebody and tell them, I'm so glad to see you today. Tell them God loves you. God is concerned about you. He has not forgotten about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that all right? Are we all right? Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. The world knows how to look out for each other. But we in the church, we're so distant. We're indifferent. We're out of touch with each other's feelings. We're superficial. We lack compassion. And yet our Savior, every time we read about him in the scriptures, Reverend Smith, we always read, it says that Jesus was moved with compassion. Ah, that's what we're supposed to be as the people of God. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad to see all of you. I'm glad to be here. Amen. I'm glad to be in the presence of the Lord. I'm glad to be here with my papa and with Babu. I'm glad to be here with my brothers and sisters of the cloth. I'm glad to be here with my First Mount Olive family and all the new visitors and friends. I'm glad to be here. Hallelujah. Amen. I love you all. I pray for you all. I carry you in my spirit more than you know. I pray because I want God's best for you, his best for all of you. I want to see you accomplish that which he has for you. Amen. There is a word from the Lord, and the word of the Lord, I'm going to do something that seminary would give me a bad mark for. We can get a good grade, Sister Ambers. I did this in seminary. Lord, help us today. But it's all right because I follow the voice of the Lord. And you may remain seated as I read. I'm going to take three scriptures, Sister Cassandra, and I'm going to tie them into this one sermon. Amen? Okay, the first scripture, Acts 9, verses 36 through 40. I'm just going to skip around the text with that. The first scripture is going to be coming from the New Testament, Paul's Acts of Apostles, Luke's Acts of the Apostles, the ninth chapter, beginning at verse 36 through 40. I'm going to skip around. The second scripture is going to come from the New Testament as well, going to the Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 39 through 44, the Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter, verses 39 through 44. And the last scripture, which was read in your hearing earlier, the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter, beginning at verse 1 through 6. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, 28th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for babies crying. They say where there are no babies crying, the church is dying. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Acts 9, 36 through 40. I'm going to begin at verse 36. And it says, at Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. Verse 37, but it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Skip down to verse 40. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Okay, skip over to the Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter, verse 39. Jesus said, take away the stone. Verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Verse 43, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Verse 44, and he who had died came out bound, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. The gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. The word of the Lord is already blessed. May he bless us. Won't you look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it ain't over. Look at your other neighbor and say, it ain't over. Grab yourself in the collar, self, it ain't over. It ain't over. It's a word of encouragement today. It ain't over. I know that's not necessarily the best English for you scholars, but it ain't over. It ain't over. As we are in this resurrection season, we're embarking upon Passion Week. A lot of people start to feel sad and depressed around this time of the year. Some folks struggle. They have an emotional struggle, not quite understanding what is really happening, what is going on. While the believers are getting ready to celebrate a great time of victory, we have to understand that spiritually there are still two wars going on. The spiritual side, the good side, we're celebrating the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, what God did through his son Jesus Christ on the cross. But the enemy is also having a hard time. Oh, he's upset. He's mad. He's angry because here we go again, celebrating. And how dare we celebrate such a victory? And so he begins to attack people with a spirit of death, a sense of death, where we begin to think about death. Some of us began to get depressed and feel oppressed. We feel down. We really can't explain what's going on with it. I don't know what's going on. I just don't feel like myself. I don't really know. Nothing bad is happening, but I'm just not happy. I just don't have the joy of the Lord. Anybody ever said that? It's because it's the enemy that has launched an additional attack against us in this season, those of us who are believers, because he's upset, because it's a reminder to him that he lost. It's a reminder all over again that he's defeated. Oh, yeah. The enemy is still defeated. He's a loser. Oh, yeah. Tap your neighbor, say the enemy is a loser. Satan is a loser. It's a reminder to him that he's a loser. Oh, help us up in here. So we get to feeling like it's over, feeling like we want to give up. What does it mean when someone says it's over? Means that it's ended. It's finished. It's completed. It's done. We begin to feel like throwing in the towel. We're hopeless. We are in despair, destitute. Yeah. There are all kinds of things that will make us feel like things are over. A bad diagnosis of a terminal illness from the doctor. a debilitating disease, a failed relationship with the one you thought was the one, the sudden death of a spouse, divorce can make you feel like it's over. A broken heart, someone abandoning you, betrayal of your best friend make you feel like it's over. Wrongfully incarcerated make you feel like it's over. The loss of a parent, a loved one, or a best friend. Having the news that your only child is involved in a car accident that leaves him or her paralyzed and unresponsive can make you feel like it's over. A sudden job loss. Show up to work like you've been showing up for the last 10 or 15 years, only to be told that the company is shutting down by close of business. Feel like it's over because you're left to rear someone else's child. Your dream home destroyed in a fire. An eviction notice on the door. Your Medicaid or your health insurance benefits suddenly drop. Having to file bankruptcy. Having your ideal car repossessed. Your life savings and or your retirement stolen in a get-rich-quick money scheme can make you feel like it's over. Not getting the promotion you worked so hard for. Not passing the grade in school. Not making the team. Finding out who your real daddy or your mama is. Oh, help us up in here. Can make you feel like it's over. Your family's dark secrets suddenly expose. A hidden secret sin in your life suddenly reveal. All of us can identify somewhere. We can find ourselves somewhere within the window of these various scenarios. I venture to say that there's not one of us in here that has not been through a time where we felt like it's over. Felt like giving up. Didn't want to hear any more scriptures. Didn't want to talk to anybody else. Just wanted to sit in the house with the blinds closed. Just sit and just soak in our own mess. I remember getting a text message from somebody one day telling me that they needed prayer because they were having a pity party. Oh, help us up in here. Yes, see. The thing about pity parties, you don't have to invite anybody else. You just, as long as you show up. They're usually inexpensive if you think about it. You don't have to send out any invitations. You don't have to provide any refreshments. We know what that feels like. And there are so many of us who are hopeless because things have not turned out the way that we thought they should have turned out. We feel like God has left us. We feel like that God no longer cares about us. Because we have our plan. We have our vision of how this is supposed to go down. And when it doesn't go down the way that we anticipated, it leaves us feeling hopeless and in despair. Touch your neighbor one more time and say, it ain't over. It ain't over. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how bad it sounds. I don't care how bad it smells. It ain't over. It ain't over. And here we are in our text as we cross these scriptures, the three scriptures, Acts 9th chapter and John the 11th chapter and Matthew the 28th chapter. We have three people in a similar situation. As we look at the parallels of the text, Reverend Pope, we see here that there are some common points about the testimony. We have Tabitha, we have Lazarus, and we have Jesus. And the common points in the text, number one, is that Tabitha and Lazarus were physically sick. Not only were they physically sick, but they were sick unto death. Look what happens in Sister Tabitha's testimony. Says Tabitha was a good person. The text says that she did some good stuff, but that didn't stop bad stuff from happening to her. Oh, help us up in here. I want you to understand that bad things still happen to good people. Don't fully have an explanation for it. But bad things can still happen to good people. And Tabitha was good. She was a disciple of the Lord. But the record is that she got sick and she died. Brother Angelo, the folk around her began to plan for her wake and for her funeral, as was the case in Brother Lazarus' testimony. Brother Lazarus was going around minding his own business. Wasn't anything bad about Brother Lazarus. Brother Lazarus got sick and he died. Just like Tabitha, they got sick and they died. And of course we know about Jesus. Now, Lazarus and Tabitha's sickness was a physical sickness, but we know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wasn't physically sick, but he ended up being spiritually sick. How was he spiritually sick? Was because he took on the sins of the world. He took on your sin. He took on my sin, and that made him sick for a little while. Oh, help us up in here. Somebody need to get a revelation that when you delve and continue to practice and live in sin and dwell in sin, sin will make you sick. Oh yeah, some folk don't believe us today. Some folk don't believe that you cannot continue to practice sin. You can't continue to be in fellowship with sin and expect that you're going to be well and expect that the blessing of the Lord is going to come upon your life. You need to know that if you continue in your sin, sin will make you sick. Sin will not only make you sick, but sin will cause you to die. Oh, help us up in here. Sin will take your life. I need somebody to believe me today. I need somebody to understand. There's no need to ask for prayer if you're living in sin. There's no need to ask anybody to bless you. We're not going to spit on you. We're not going to lay hands on you. Come up out of your sin. Repent of your sin. That's the remedy. You want to get well? Repent and come up out of your sin. You want to be whole? Repent and come up out of your sin. We don't want to preach about repentance. What does repentance mean? It means a complete turning away. We want to cover up sin. We want to bless people while they're living in their sin. And some of us think because other people don't see our sin, that it's not sin. But it doesn't matter what other people see it or not. God sees sin. Oh, help us up in here. You may not be the one that's drinking, smoking, whatever, shacking, all of the stuff we usually call out. You may not be in that situation, but you may be sitting there with unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart. You may be sitting there jealous of somebody else. You may be sitting there lying and scheming against somebody else. That's sin. Oh, help us up in here. Help us up in here. You may be stealing from other folks. You may be pretending to be somebody that you're not. That's hypocrisy. situation that's called sin. Oh, yes, 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 yes. We got to start dealing with the sin in our church. We want to have revival, and we want to jump over stuff. We want to shout over stuff. We want to sing over stuff. But what we need to do is have repentance. We need folk running to the altar. Lord, I'm sorry. I confess my sin. And then revival will come. Ah, help us up in here. I know it's tight. I know. Yeah. I ain't got but one person to please. That's God Almighty. Oh, help us up in here. We got to come out of our sin. Folk need to understand there's a consequence to sin. When somebody tells you that you are in disobedience, you are not living right before the Lord. Don't keep living that way and then wonder why your stuff is falling apart. Your life is just turned upside down. See, we know God as a God of mercy and love and grace. And yes, he is. Yes, he is. He is a loving God. He is a merciful God. And he cares for us. Even when we're not thinking about him, he's thinking about us. But he's also a God of judgment. And he will allow us to appear to get away with stuff for a season. But because he's a just God, he's a holy God, he has to deal with sin. We have the evidence because he didn't leave us in the state of sin that Adam and Eve created for us. If he wanted to leave us, if he was not a just God, he would have never sent his son Jesus to die for us in the first place. Jesus had to confront sin. And the church has to confront sin. Why? Because the church, we're supposed to be God's house. We're supposed to be God's people. Oh, help us up in here. Sin cannot rule and reign in God's house. And the Spirit of God expect to live here. Sin brings sickness and death. Could be spiritual death. And it can be eventually physical death. Come up out of your sin. Repent. Repent. Get it right before God. Get your heart right before God. Jesus ended up being sick unto death because of the sin. He didn't have any sin, but he took on our sin. And so that's a common parallel. But as we go further into our text, we see that there are some other things that we can learn from Tabitha's testimony, Lazarus' testimony, and Jesus' testimony. I'm going to give you those things, and I'm going to get out of your way. God wants us to understand what we see from Tabitha's testimony. Look at Tabitha's situation. Tabitha's situation looked like it was over. And so did Lazarus' situation. And there were two types of people in both scenarios. Tabitha had folks that had already counted her out. Lazarus had people that had already counted him out. And in Lazarus' case, they sent a text message to Jesus. They tweeted him. It was all on Facebook. Lazarus is sick. And Jesus reads the text message. They said Lazarus sick. He talking to the, Lazarus sick. What? They got it on Facebook? Lazarus said, okay, whatever. Jesus said, okay, whatever. This sickness ain't unto death. I got that. What we on our way to? We going over here to help this? Okay, whatever. The disciples freaking out. Everybody, Lazarus sick. They in a panic. Jesus said, okay, whatever. He waits two more days. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tabitha passes out and is gone. They sitting at the wait. Say, look what she did. Look at all the stuff she made. She was just such a good person. They're weeping and talking to each other. Can you see them? Sitting at the wait. Music playing. Good music, Brother Kendra. Good music. Somebody back there, down there in the fellowship hall in the kitchen, they're coming up with the menu. Okay, we're going to have fried chicken. We're going to have potato salad. We're going to have pound cake. And I'm going to need you, Sister Allison. You know that sweet iced tea you always make? That they love that. Can you make that? Boo ain't here today. Well, I come out, call her, and see if we can get that macaroni and cheese. Yeah. There you go, Sis Kate. We forgot the greens. All right, that's right. Greens. You know, cause they had put her stuff on Facebook too. She gone. But there was another person that said, "Wait a minute, we got somebody with some power in the next city. His name is Peter. Send Peter a text. See if Evangelist Peter will come by here and stop by and just see." And Peter comes while they're weeping. And what Peter does, because Peter recognizes he's able to discern the situation that is not over. Jesus discerns that it's not over for Lazarus. That's why it did not freak him out. Oh, help us up in here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When you realize that your situation is not the end of you, you don't have to go through all the drama. You don't have to play the victim. You don't have to try to tell everybody about your struggle. You don't have to fix your face to make it look like you are going through. You just chill out. They sent Peter the text message. Peter, by this time, Reverend Smith, I can imagine the kind of character that Peter had. He was probably irritated and angry by now. What have them folks done to my sister over there what have they done in Joppa? Peter shows up. We know he's upset because the first thing he does, I can imagine he walks right through the door. Walks right through the door. Donnie, open the door so he can come on through. He walked right on through the door. Shows up. Everybody's sitting at the wake. He gets upset. The first thing that he does is he puts everybody out. The text says he put them all out. Because you all think this stuff is over. You have counted her out. And there are too many doubters around me for me to be able to get something done. Help us up in here. In order for God to perform a miracle in your life, you've got to get the haters and the doubters and the unbelievers out of your life. See, that's why some of you are still struggling in a state of depression, because you got folk that are so negative and all they speak is evil stuff and death. And that's why you feel like it's over. Come on here. Got negative folk whispering in your ear. They're not speaking life. They're speaking death. There are folk that are around you who are waiting and hoping on your death. When you go down, they're hoping that you stay down. But I thank God that God's got some folk that say, look a here. As Peter come through the door, he puts all of the unbelievers out. And he looks at Tabitha. He's got an attitude. He looks at her. He said, "Girl, get up from there. What are you doing?" In other words, he said, "Girl, it's not over." As we switch the channel and we look at Lazarus' testimony, Jesus has an attitude by now, because his disciples not understanding. He told them, he says, "Lazarus is asleep. They are not getting it. Been around them all this time, still don't understand the workings of Holy Spirit." He says, "Look here, he gets there after this, that Lazarus been dead for 4 days. folks say that he's probably stinking, Jesus gets there. The report says that he starts to weep. I believe that he started to weep because of the unbelief that was around him, that they didn't really understand who he was. He says, show me where you put my boy. Show me where he's at. And he begins to say to them, look at here. He says, roll away the stone. I want you to understand, if you're planning to get up out of your situation, you've got to get rid of them stones in your life. The stone of offense, the stone of hatred, the stone of unbelief, the stone of unforgiveness. You've got to get rid of the stones of your past. Said, move the stone away. They rolled the stone away. And can you see that it was a type of Jesus in the situation with Lazarus, just as it was in the situation with Peter and Tabitha? Because Peter calls Tabitha's name, but Jesus also calls Lazarus' name. He says, Lazarus, boy, come forth. Come here, boy. It ain't over. Help us up in here. Yes, it ain't over. Tell your neighbor, it ain't over. Peter calls Tabitha says, it ain't over. Jesus calls Lazarus and says, it ain't over. And here, switch the channel again. Here we go. We know that Jesus had to die for the sins of this world. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this bitter cup pass from me. But then he realized he didn't have to deal with his flesh. He had to put the flesh under subjection. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. Not my will, but thine will be done. He dies on the cross. Oh yeah, they crucify him. They pierce him in his side. They pierce him in his feet. They pierce him in his hands. They make a mockery out of him. Touch your neighbor again. Said it ain't over. Oh, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. Oh, yes, 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 yes. It ain't over. So they get there, Mary, they get to the tomb, and they're looking for him. Well, the angel of the Lord had already rolled back the stone. Yes, thank you, God. Had already rolled back the stone. And the record is, they say to the women, he is not here, for he has risen as he says. What am I trying to tell you? That just in the case of Tabitha, just in the case of Lazarus, just like Tabitha and Lazarus got up, just like Jesus got up after being dead for 3 days in the grave, it ain't over. I don't know how long you've been in your stuff. I don't know how long you've been in your trial. How long you've been in your tribulation. How long you've been on your storm. But I want to say to you today, it ain't over. It ain't over. It ain't over. You can rise again. You can rise again. You can rise again. Why? Because the same power that raised Tabitha from the dead, the same power that raised Lazarus from the dead, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that's in you. And he will resurrect you. He will lift you up. He will exalt you out of the muck and mire clay. Say to your neighbor, it ain't over. 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 Don't you give up. Don't you lose hope. Lisa, it ain't over. It ain't over. Don't let go. Had some trouble. Had some trial. But it ain't over. It ain't over. Shall we stand all over the building? It ain't over. Say to yourself all this week, it ain't over. Every time something comes to disturb you, speak to yourself. Encourage yourself and say it ain't over. While you're sitting in the doctor's office receiving a negative report, say to yourself, it ain't over. It ain't over. When you go to the ATM machine, realize it's a negative balance. Say it ain't over. It ain't over. When folk walk out on you, say it ain't over. When you hear that somebody's talking about you, say it ain't over. Keep speaking to yourself. Keep prophesying to yourself. It ain't over. While you're walking the floor at night, don't know how to pray, don't know what to say, just walk back and forth and say, it ain't over. It ain't over. It ain't over. Speak to yourself. Encourage yourself. Hear somebody else talking about giving up, taking their lives. Tell them it ain't over. It ain't over. Jesus raised Tabitha from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead for us to say it ain't over. It ain't over. Maybe you're here today and you have not accepted Jesus the Christ as your Lord and Savior in accordance with Romans 10 and 9 that says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised his son Jesus from the dead, you can be saved. You ought to come. You ought to step out into the aisle and just come and receive him as your Savior. He loves you. That's why he sent his son Jesus to die for you. Because he loves you. And he wants the best for you. Come on and receive him. Buddha can't do anything for you. I wouldn't bother with a God that I have to carry. In order for Buddha to get from one place to the other, you got to pick Buddha up and carry Buddha. I don't want a God that I got to carry, Reverend Pope. I need a God that can carry me. Confucius and Zoroaster, they can't do it for you. We are the only religion that has a Savior that paid the ultimate sacrifice. We are the only religion that has a supernatural God who can do things that no other power can do. That's the kind of God that I would serve. And he's available to you through his son, Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's only one way. Don't let anybody fool you and talk about that there's more ways to Christ. God, there's only one way. It's through his son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says if you come any other way, you come as a thief and a robber. In other words, you don't have legal access to him unless you come through Jesus, who is the door. He's the door of the sheep. Won't you enter in? Come on, the door of the sheep is open. His hands are stretched out towards you. He wants to make it right. Maybe you're here and you're saying, I accepted Christ. I just need to be reconciled. I need my relationship with him restored. Won't you come? He's married to you. He's thinking about you. He's watched you. He sees you. He cares about you. And you're not here by accident today. You didn't come just because somebody invited you. You didn't come because it's Palm Sunday. You came because the Spirit of God said you needed to be here to hear. It ain't over. Come on and rededicate your life to him. Give your life over. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I'm already saved. I'm in right standing with God. But what I need is prayer. I need prayer because I'm struggling. I'm struggling emotionally. You can come to the altar. You can join together around the altar and we'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. Won't you come? The altar is open. If you want special prayer, if you want to come, you're saying, I need strength. I need to be strengthened. I need to be closer to God. I want my relationship with Him to be better. I need Him to reveal Himself to me. I need Him to make Himself known. See, a lot of us don't even understand that God is just that personal. That if you ask Him, He will reveal Himself to you. He's no respecter of persons. You don't have to be preaching. You don't have to be standing behind this sacred desk. All you have to do is say, God, I want to get to know you better. And He said, okay, I'm willing to do that. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to go through changes. You don't have to be in prayer 1,000 hours. He's a practical God. He's a loving God. And He accepts us just the way we are. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you don't have to look like me. You don't have to sound like me. You don't have to act like me. Isn't that a relief? Isn't that a blessing? Why are we trying to look like each other? Huh? You be you and I'll be me. And everything will work out fine. It'll be lovely. Amen? Amen? I can't sing like Sister Evelyn. Hallelujah. Yes. Let's sing a portion of that. There is no doubt. I decided to make Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Come on. Let's sing that out. Come on. The road is rough. Yes, it is. The going is tough. The hills, hard to climb. Yes, yes, yes. Started out a long time ago. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. I decided. Yes, yes, yes. Father, I thank you for these, your people that stand around this altar and even in the congregation that are standing. God, I ask you to touch your people. I pray, God, that you would breathe upon them supernaturally in the name of Jesus. I ask your presence to hover over them, God. You know the various needs that are around this altar. And you are a merciful God. You are a loving God. You are a caring God. I ask you, O God, to move by your spirit in each of their lives. For those of them who need, dear God, to come into a closer relationship with you, I ask you, Lord, that you would draw them closer to you by Holy Spirit. O God, I ask you to have your will and your way in each of their lives, O God. I ask you, O God, to reveal yourself to them. Make yourself known to them. And I rebuke and bind up the hand of the enemy off of their lives. I speak to every tormenting spirit. And I shut it down in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every spirit of death off of them. And I declare your spirit of life, they're going to live. They shall not die. They're going to live. To declare your works. I thank you for them now. And I ask your peace to be upon them. Peace which surpasses all of their understanding. Oh God, draw us closer together as your people. In your compassion. In your love. And in your mercy. Oh God, I pray for Pastor Stinger. I pray, God, that you would touch him supernaturally in this season of his life. I pray for his body right now. I pray strength upon his body. God, I pray your wisdom and your spirit of revelation. Pray that you continue to keep him in your care. Oh God, watch over Barbara in the name of Jesus. Watch over Kim in the name of Jesus. Watch over Charles and Diana in the name of Jesus. Keep this family in your care. Keep all of these ministers, God, in the name of Jesus. Touch these deacons in this house, these deaconess in this house. Touch these trustees. Touch these musicians in this house. Touch the ushers, God. Let First Mount Olive be the church that you have called for it to be. In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace.